On Taiwan Talk this week, on December 15, 1978, then U.S. President Jimmy Carter made an important announcement that would eventually shape Taiwan policy.
The United States of America and the People's Republic of China have agreed to recognize each other and to establish diplomatic relations as of January the 1st, 1979.
Those words ushered a period of deep anguish for then-President Jiang Jingguo and members of his administration. One of the late president's lieutenants was Frederick Chen, who eventually went on to become foreign minister and control Yuan president. Now, to kick off ICRT's 45th birthday celebration, Chen sat down with us to tell us what transpired in the period immediately after that announcement. Those events would also lead to the founding of International Community Radio Taipei.
December 15th, 1978 was a Friday. And that is a very important point. It's a Friday. About 11:30 Taipei time, I received a phone call at my home. I was already asleep. Asked me to rush to this place. This, you know, there's a Seven Seas Villa. That was President Jiang Jingguo's residence. Asked me to go there at once. And when I arrived, and the president asked me, what do you think about the purpose of it? I said, very simple. Remember in July, 1976, about 2.5 years ago, you asked me to write different scenarios of U.S. trying to change her relationship with us. I had 10 scenarios, from dual recognition to switch to embassy in Beijing, consulate general in Taipei, etc. You can find many ways. And the last one was what the PRC demanded the U.S. to do. Cut off diplomatic ties with us, take away all the U.S. military personnel from Taiwan. Third, abrogate the Mutual Defense Treaty.
But the third never happened, right?
Well, the third did happen. At that time, the U.S. government took advantage of the content of the Mutual Defense Treaty. The last article was, if either side wanted to end the treaty, it should give 1 year's advance notice. In other words, the derecognition took place January 1st, 1979. Defense treaty would end, terminate, it's abrogated. Leonard Unger did not come in until 2 a.m. the next morning. He was totally unprepared, just have a piece of paper, several pieces of paper, I think three. First piece of paper was message from Jimmy Carter to President Jiang, literally notifying him that I want to establish diplomatic ties with PRC. For that reason, our relationship cannot be continued. But otherwise, we hope we could still maintain people-to-people relations, unofficial.
When was the hard stop for you? I mean, obviously, you know, the relationship as it is today is a little bit different.
It was very bad. And then he gave us, he read the joint communique between USA and PRC, which was to be announced a few hours later. Then the third message was what the US would be doing. They would send a special envoy to come to Taipei representing Jimmy Carter to discuss with us what followed was the unofficial relationship. Oh, and then there was the only thing Unger said of his own. I think he was also instructed, but it was not reading. He said, whatever I told you now, for 8 hours, you cannot tell anybody. This really angered President Jiang. He said, we have been allies for over many decades, 1941, 1980, 78, almost 30 plus years. And we have been in such good friendship. And we have a very important mutual defense treaty. And all this you told me like this, only 8 hours. And you do not allow me to announce this to my people. I have to cheat them during those 8 hours as if nothing happened. I cannot do that. So the meeting was very short, just as simple as that. 2:30, he came in with his political counselor, and not quite 3 o'clock, they left. And President Jiang went upstairs to his living quarter. In 2 minutes, came down with the paper which I wrote for him, the 10 scenarios. He said, now you do according what you write in that 10th scenario, which number one was to call several top level government officials to his residence to tell them and to have a close discussion about what we would be doing. And then I should alert our embassy in Washington. I should ask James Song to write down all what happened at those half an hour less. And then number three, there's a gentleman, Victor Hu, was personal secretary to the foreign minister. And he would be drafting cables to alert all our missions overseas. Actually, the cable, I had a rough draft in my scenario paper. So by 3:30, all the top guys came. And we were doing things in the dining room. They were having the close discussions in the living room. I was not there, so I do not know who said what. But one thing was clear. The foreign minister, Sun Changhuan, asked for the permission to resign.
Do you remember what the cables said, the ones that you sent out?
The cable was just simply announce what happened just a few hours ago, and that the derecognition date would be January 1st, 1979. Until then, they still enjoy full diplomatic privileges and immunities. They should be very quiet, not to get excited, and calm everybody down. I called long distance to alert our ambassador in Washington, Jimmy Shen. But unfortunately, Jimmy Shen was out of town. He was in Arizona giving a talk. It was the DCM, Deputy Chief Mission, Minister Chen Daichu, who received the phone call. I told him what happened. He said, I know, because it was 3:30 in the afternoon, Washington time. He said, this is the reason why the State Department asked me to come to see them at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. So the press conference was to be held at 9 o'clock evening, Washington time. And they asked our chargé to come into State Department to tell him something that has been already publicized in the press conference.
You had 2 weeks from the time you were told until the time it ended. What did the 2 weeks, what was the entire process of unwinding the relationship?
Well, The 2 weeks were a very difficult time, very hard time. First of all, our media took advantage of this thing, attacked the government, saying that they asked the State Department. State Department say, we have been telling you about this, we have been preparing about this for many years, and you didn't do anything. And when State Department officials, Sullivan, Assistant Secretary, told our press people, we have prepared papers for this event about 6 feet tall, and your foreign ministry didn't do anything. So the ministry got accused, attacked by people because of the media. But it's all wrong. The truth of the matter was, we thought about this. And personally, I discussed with the foreign minister about the event that would be coming, which did come. And the foreign minister replied me with one sentence. When the person have not died, how can you near the coffin? 人还没死，怎么把棺材就钉起来了？ So we have to do everything very confidentially. But we gathered a lot of papers. And all told, my desk is taller than this arm. I have a large desk, and all the departments, various departments, taking the papers that I've asked them to prepare. This included our past experience, our past cases of breaking up diplomatic ties. What did we do? How did we negotiate? What did we get? Pile up in front of my desk, 6 piles. It was more than 1 foot per pile. It must be 2 foot per pile. We prepared much more, but we couldn't tell anybody. So we went through all those papers, and I drafted all the things we needed to negotiate with the U.S. Because in Carter's message to Jiang Jingguo, he said, I will send a high-level personal representative to your country to discuss about the aftermath. So we have to prepare for that discussion. We gathered all the arrangements we have with the countries we broke ties. And what was good? What is the best? The best is ROC mission. We wanted that. And what did we get for the people assigned to the mission? Diplomatic treatment. We want that. What can we keep? Because after derecognition, PRC would come in right away. And as soon as they came in, they have diplomatic ties with US. We have none. So all our government property, assets,
papers,
whether it's a real or a real estate or bank deposit, how can we secure them? And then the defense treaty was going to be terminated January 1st, 1980, what would be the security of Taiwan? The U.S. used to promise us that they would provide us with nuclear shield and ask us not to do anything with regard to nuclear weapon. anytime they detected there was something that looks like we're going to do something, they came in and protest. I don't know how many times the ambassador and the DCM came to my office and Jiang Jingguo's office to protest. So President Jiang got so headache, told me, Frederick, send a formal note to them that we would only be using nuclear energy for peaceful means, not for military purpose. And of course, the people in our central science academy, our defense ministry has a
research
center in Longtan, I think. I guess it's Longtan. And it's the first research institute was nuclear. And the people in the Nuclear Research Institute, they got so mad with me, attacked me as traitor, as selling out our country, etc., etc. But it was all under the instruction of President Jiang, what I did. There are many, many items. So I have to call Ministry of Defense, Ministry of Communications because of the air link, shipping link, Ministry of Economic Affairs because of the trade. We have many agreements with the United States, particularly in those days, textile was the most important thing, and we have to have a quota for the finance all those deposits. GIO, we have GIO branches in various consulates as well as in Washington. With each of those government agencies. Oh, and of course, most important, defense. They have thought more than I have thought. So I jotted down and put down on my small little
notebook.
Notebook. This is for preparation to discuss with the US side. So I was so busy, and then every place wanted me to go and report what has happened. What are we going to do? The party has had ad hoc standing committee meeting around the morning of the 16th. Just the sleepless night, and then in the morning, ad hoc standing committee meeting. And the cabinet had an ad hoc cabinet meeting in the afternoon. I have to go and report. And then the party again held an ad hoc central committee meeting. Central committee was much bigger than the standing committee. Standing committee, only 21 person. The central committee has more than 100 people. So report after report after report, but it was horrible days and nights. And President Jiang Jingguo was very much affected by this impact, by this tragedy. So he couldn't sleep. Often at midnight, he would call me, "Would you come to my home?" I would go. So the two of us didn't get much sleep. Unger made a call to me on the 19th because 15th was Friday, 16th, 17th weekend, 18th, I don't know what, 19th, he made a formal call to me. The only thing he asked me of was over the last few days, I heard many of our countrymen told us that they were scared. Everywhere they went, people were very nasty to them. They are worried about their safety. And they are also worried if they stay here, all the past privileges would no longer be there for them to enjoy. I told him, don't worry because of this happened. We're still friends. We will treat your people with courtesy and respect. And their safety is our responsibility. You can quote me saying that there will be no harm to them anywhere they go. There are a lot of things we also wanted you to do. Same as you worried about your people, I am worried about my people in U.S. When the PRC set up their embassy and consulates everywhere, they would try to harass our people who supported us. And the PRC have very clear records. They're agents everywhere. So you need to protect our citizens in your country. With regard to your people, whatever they had in the past will be continued. I say, for instance, you have the Armed Forces radio station Taiwan. Of course, all the armed forces would be leaving, but we would ask our business people to set up an ICRT. The club, we say the American people must have a club. So you have the American, Taipei American Club, few steps away from this building. Whatever convenience and your people used to enjoy, we would provide for them. So that on that occasion, I gave him a list of what I prepared in my little notebook. What he said, oh, this I cannot respond. Wait until Warren Christopher come.
What was the mood like? I mean, you went through 2 weeks of what sounds like a lot of hell.
Uh-huh.
And then Christopher comes. What was that like?
December 27th, 11 days after the announcement, Christopher came in with a group of senior people. I went to the airport earlier, and in those days, the Songshan Airport is not a boulevard like what it is now. It was a small alley. And from Dunhua, we turn right. I noticed both sides crowded with people, young people. And they all cheered me when they saw my car pass by.
The flags.
Yeah, 加油, 加油. But I also saw a few person not that friendly. Their look, their face is so
hostile.
Hostile. Mm. And they have stick, they have eggs, they have tomato in their hands. So when I came in to the airport reception room, first person I saw was Bill Brown. So I said, Bill, I'm very worried about outside. Eggs, tomatoes, all right, but the bamboo stick is not all right. So may I suggest that when you leave through the back door. he laughed at me. He said, Frederick, don't worry. This is former representative of U.S. president. I don't think there will be any trouble. We will go out through the front door and go through the narrow alley to Dunhua to reach the Grand Hotel. I couldn't say anything else. I couldn't get in touch with our security people because the plane was already, they say the plane was already circular. So Admiral Song and I, we walk out to the ramp. And it was very awkward because it was a very sad occasion. We have to break tie and we couldn't say welcome. We just say, well, how was the flight? I hope it was smooth. And they all came in, old friends, particularly Warren Christopher. And on that day in the afternoon, I was handed by James Song, the government spokesman, a piece of paper, 3 pages, English, no Chinese. Asked me, you have to read this at the press conference. I look at it. It was very acrimonious, not the way I would like to say.
Who wrote it?
It was someone very high, but it was approved by President Jiang Jingguo. And Jimmy Song said, President wanted you to say this to me. So I read. I never read anything. I always say ad lib. But that time, that was the only time in public I read a piece of paper. And I noted all the American visitors' face changed when I started, because it was very acrimonious. I would never say those things. But I would be very brief, just say that we are very sad that we have been deserted, but now we have to look to the future, not the past. We need to work out a formula that would work in the future days, not only for our generation, but for the ensuing generation. That would be my message. But this was outrageous. But you don't know this. I was mistakenly applauded by so many people on Taiwan. They consider me as a hero. No, I'm not a hero. I made a big mistake by reading that piece of paper. This was really making their arrival a very unwelcome one. So when they went out, the people on both sides, all shouting. I will not repeat what they shouted. And then started to throw eggs and tomatoes to the car, which is no problem. But then there were some really bad guys used the bamboo stick. And the bamboo stick, I don't know how it can broke the window. And Christopher got a, and Unger sitting next to him almost
got cut.
Got a very large scar. Anyway, they got so angry. They didn't go to the hotel because there was the Grand Hotel. They was afraid there were also rascals there to hurt them. So they went up to Grass Mountain, Yaming Side, to the TDC commander's quarter. And that was safe because Marine guards, etc. And our security also provided for TDC, Taiwan Defense Command, commander was good. And they told me they wanted to see President Jiang first thing in the morning. And I called President Jiang, and he got very angry. He said, tomorrow morning, you come earlier than them. And he brought in Commander-in-Chief of Taiwan Garrison Command, Director of National Security Bureau, Commander of the MP, Military Police, and Director General of National Police Administration. The four key persons responsible for security. And they were earlier than I arrived at the... When I came in, they all head bowed. And Jiang was very angry, scolded them. And he turned to me and asked me what actually happened. I reported to him what I just told you. And I said, I hope our security people, either one, the NSB or the police or the garrison command, would have people taking pictures of those rascals. No one could say anything. No, there was no photo taking. This is really outrageous, totally uncalled for, just like the piece of paper I was asked to read. So, in other words, those of us who knew diplomacy know that diplomacy has to be conducted in a very quiet, peaceful manner. And it is not over the table that you argue to each other. It was actually after you have argued for a while, you have a recess, you go to the men's room. There, if you are really friendly, you can ask your friend what is your maximum demand and what is your minimum demand, and see where it compared with our. If your maximum, we consider minimal, then we will grant you. If we consider maximum, you consider minimal, then you can give us. That's diplomacy. When you negotiate, you rely on your diplomats. They have friends everywhere. And from their friends, they can get this maximum, minimum, six. And then you can have accord, agreement. The minister at that time was a brand new minister because Sun Chang Huan left, Y.S. Jiang. He was understandable. He said, you listen to Fred, and what he said, you should be following. But nobody listened to him.
I'm going to ask you to fast forward to today. It's been 45 years. How would you evaluate Taiwan's relationship with the U.S. today?
Well, I always consider the U.S. as a very good friend of ours. And I try to make the relationship as friendly as possible. When I served in the foreign ministry, when I served in Washington, D.C., if you ask me today, my view changed a little bit. I think U.S. foreign policy since 1960s have been decided by one person who just passed away recently, Henry Kissinger.
Yes.
Henry Kissinger is a realist. He believed in what Hans Morgenthau wrote, politics among nations. And his realistic view is held by many, many diplomats of the United States. And this is why U.S. consider her national interests way above any of her friendly countries.
If you had the opportunity to mentor younger diplomats, what would you tell them today?
A diplomat, first and foremost responsibility is to safeguard his or her country's interests. In order to do that, it is not a fistfight game. It is a brain game. First of all, young diplomat must read as much as possible. You should not just focus one place, United States alone. No. You have to know what's happening in Southeast Asia, what's happening in the Middle East, what's happening in Europe, in Northern Europe, in Russia, Latin America, India. The more knowledge you have, the more friends you can make. So, what do I have? I don't have anything. I have this. I have knowledge. I have friends everywhere. All the places, no matter whether we have diplomatic ties or no, I can reach to the top. That's the important. That's what a diplomat should do. Not limit yourself to this place. It's not good enough. You have to be widespread, all-inclusive.
You were listening to former Comptroller and President and Foreign Minister Frederick Chin. I'm Hope Goh. Thank you for tuning in.